Sprint cars, super late models, thunder cars, modifies, World of Outlaws, Arcas, all here.
Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt.
On races, fame, short tracks.
All the way to the high-banked oval.
This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now, dig.
And now, here's your host, live from the Race Time Radio studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
Alrighty then, snow shovels down, everyone. Good evening, and how are you tonight? I am Joe Chisholm, along with Joe Chisholm Jr., right here in the Racetime Radio studio, and all set for the next 2 hours to talk short track racing right here live on Racetime Radio. So glad you could take some time out of your day to click in tonight. We got a good one lined up for you, everybody. We've got, in hour number one, we're going to hear from some of the biggest news in NASCAR Monster Energy Cup stuff, Junior. Cole Pearn is going to step away from that 19 car. That's huge.
Yeah, definitely. He made his mark, though. You know, it's he can step away with his head held high, and I think everybody's been more than congratulatory to a very strong career, and really it takes a lot to step away, I don't think that you can take away take racing out of Cole Pearn's blood.
Never.
He's still a racer. He still loves the sport, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what he does within the sport after leaving. It'll be good to catch up with him and good to hear what he's got coming down the pipeline, see if we can get a little bit of insight. But also I think all the Canadian fans and American that listen will get a kick out of talking or getting a kick out of hearing from Cole Pearn post announcement. And it's definitely huge news. It's groundbreaking news, really. You know, you don't see a guy walk out of this sport when he's at the top.
Right.
And on his own terms.
And talk about at the top.
And he, you know, Cole Pearn, obviously, he's a Hall of Famer. He's a guy that really made his mark on the sport and did a great job. And it'll be interesting to hear what all he's got to say.
I would imagine Cole Pearn, looking down the road, I wouldn't doubt, and if he isn't, it would be an injustice, but I wouldn't doubt he's going to be the first Canadian inducted into the NASCAR Hall of Fame one day.
Yeah, definitely. I think so. I think it's going to be interesting to see, what he ends up doing after.
Yeah, that's the key, right?
You know, he's obviously qualified to now run a big company because that's exactly
anything.
What you do as a crew chief. It's so interesting, to have that on your resume, NASCAR championship crew chief. There's a lot of people out there that don't understand what it takes to do that. It's more than a 24-hour deal.
It sure is.
You don't shut being a crew chief off in your brain.
No.
And even though he's not doing it anymore, he still won't be able to shut it off.
Well, he's been living it for the last 12 years.
Exactly.
Living
and doing a great job.
Every single day and every minute of every day.
At the highest possible level within the sport.
Yeah.
Not just at the highest, point or the highest pinnacle of the sport, but at the highest level within the pinnacle.
Yes.
Because, working with where they were out in Denver, it was brains and money that got them where they were. And Cole Pearn, is a big part of that. And then looking, transitioning over to Joe Gibbs, I mean, it's really cool that, to see what he was able to accomplish.
Yeah.
And it caught me by surprise when I read that Cole Pearn was out.
Not everybody by surprise.
I mean, when I read it, I was like, no, there's no way.
I could see if Cole was a real old guy, but he's not. He's a young man.
Yep.
He's a young man. We're going to get a chance to catch up with him here. We'll try and find out who, what, where, why. We'll try and get all those. And we look forward to catching up with Cole Pearn a little bit later. If you're a new race fan, maybe a new listener to Racetime Radio, and you don't know who Cole Pearn is, He is the crew chief for, well, was the crew chief for Martin Truex Jr. in the NASCAR Monster Energy Cup Series. The car number 19, that's who Cole is. He's a Canadian, too, by the way. If you didn't know that, I believe he's from Mount Bridges, Ontario. Initially, that's where he was growing up. And down to the States he went. And what a storied career. And we're going to catch up with him here tonight. We'll also hear tonight on this program from Matt Robley. We had Matty on, I'm going to say it was September, maybe even a little earlier than that. Matt Robley is going to join us tonight. We'll talk some 2020 plans. He's got a late model put together. He's going to be back at Delaware Speedway. That last name and even Matt synonymous with racing at Delaware Speedway, Canada's half fastest half mile.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, Matt has, you know, over the last few years, he's not new to late model by any stretch.
No,
he's not new
to
racing. You know, Matt, you know, is a fan favorite with whatever he jumps into. You know, looking back, he spent a couple of years in Super Stock. And you know, the last couple of years have been racing in Super Stock. And you know, last year, I think it was the beginning of last year where he put together his late model, you know, effort to get back out there. And
yep,
now running after a championship again in 2020, all signs point to that he's ready to go.
Yeah.
And, you know, his car, you know, looks beautiful and is beautiful. He's got a great little team put together, and going to be interesting to hear what he's got to say. Obviously, there's a lot of news coming out of Delaware Speedway. Really,
tons,
we'll ask Matt about the, you know, obviously he's not an APC guy. He doesn't race APC. He races it maybe, you know, a few times a year. He's not a full time APC competitor,
right?
But he races a pro late model, which is under the APC rules at Delaware.
Yeah.
Delaware, of course, made news changing their schedule, going to all Saturday nights, you know, throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I it's a great thing. I think they had great turnouts for their Saturday races in the past couple of years.
Yep.
You know, taking a step and doing a change like that. Delaware, since I can remember, has been a Friday night racetrack.
Yeah.
And
with
you
scattered
know,
Saturdays.
Scattered Saturdays and scattered Sundays as well. You know, for the most part, it was a Friday night venue. So
right,
it's going to change a lot of the competitors, you know, needs, I think,
mm-hmm,
you know, and switching up to a Saturday will be really interesting. We'll get his take on that. We'll talk about, you know, what he sees coming down the pipeline. Obviously, big changes. When you change a schedule like that, there's other
yeah,
big changes that are happening in the background as well.
I'll bet you going Saturday night for Delaware Speedway is really going to open up the spectrum for him. And what I mean by that, not only for competitors, but for fans alike, when you race on Friday night, which Delaware did forever, it's got to be difficult. I know some of the Friday night shows that I went to and covered, I found myself leaving, well, you know, living up in the Owen Sound area. You got to leave fairly early in order to get there in time for practice and in time for the races. I often wondered when I'm driving, man, I wonder how fans do this. You've got, of course, a great market in London, Ontario, right there. Delaware located just in Comoca, Ontario, just outside of London. But, you know, pressure's on. You got to get out of work, get things done that you got to do, and then head for the racetrack. And if you're going to be too late, then chances are you're not going to go. So by going Saturday, I think it's going to open the spectrum up for them as well. Should make for more fans, should make for more cars.
One thing that I always noticed, of course, I spent a lot of time at Delaware Speedway. I was working with Andrew Grizel for, you know, a
yep,
solid 4 years in there, where we made the trip basically every Friday night. And I would say, and I think that you could say this exact same thing about Kawartha when it was in operation.
Right.
On Friday nights, if you've got a Friday night track, a majority of the people there are within a 15 to 20 minute drive
right,
of the racetrack.
Yep.
You know, we, with the Sauble Falls team, you know, we were an exception to the rule.
Yeah, you guys had
but
to
we
go,
stood
like
out
a
like a sore
ride,
thumb. We stood out like a sore thumb because we weren't from there,
right,
you know?
Yep.
there's only a few other guys that I can think of that, you know, have a bit of a drive, and it's usually only about an hour.
So
you know,
what
like
did you
Lloyd
do?
Rawlings.
Did you take Fridays off work, or did you guys split work at like noon?
No, it would,
to
it would
make
always
it down there.
We would always try to leave by, you know, by 12 o'clock. So it was always by 12. You know, the last year that we were in there, we both had different jobs, and we were leaving at like 3 and getting there, you know,
ooh,
as practice was starting.
Yeah.
So
yeah, yeah,
it was actually a disadvantage, you know, leaving later. But we would try to leave by about noon, and that would put us there for 3, and back gates usually opened at 4. So, you know, you had a little bit of a grace period. But if you
right
didn't get out till like 1 or 1:30, and you got to think, too, the traffic is definitely busier on the weekend because you drive through. No matter which way you go, you're driving
yeah
through cottage country
right
to get there. So, and on a Friday night, it's usually pretty hectic. So, you know, when I look at the schedule, but when I look at Delaware,
mm-hmm,
I think that a majority of the people that are in the grandstands on a regular basis are from the area.
Right.
Where at Sauble Speedway,
huh,
it's nothing to have guys, like, you know, a lot of competitors from an hour to 2 hours away.
Yeah. On a Saturday.
On a conventional Saturday night. So I love that about the Delaware schedule. That being said, you know, I think that there's a need for Friday night racing now.
Sure.
You know, so it's really interesting when you look at you know, all the racetracks in Ontario now, everybody's running on the same day. So,
right, right.
And when you look at the biggest schedules, or not the biggest schedules, the biggest events,
right,
are when everybody's off. You know, that's where the biggest events take place, is when everybody's off. So I look at Peterborough Autumn Colors. The success of that event isn't necessarily that it's a great ran event,
right,
isn't that it's got great camping, isn't that it's great fun. It's that everybody's off, you know, and that's when
right
that's when everybody can get there. So using that same analogy week in and week out, if everybody's running on the same date, it does, you know, perhaps remove a little bit of your fan base, you know, because now they have to choose.
Yeah.
So, and there's quite a few tracks within a two-hour radius of Delaware. You know, you look at Flamborough, you look at Sauble's at the far end of that. But really, it's not that far over to Sunset either.
No,
from
2 hours.
Yeah, exactly. So it's interesting. I wish them nothing but the success. You know, it's going to be great. I think that if they can have more people in the grandstands, which arguably that's got to be the reason to do it.
Right, right.
If they can have more people in the grandstands and more cars show up, then, I mean, it's good on them.
More job. That's the way to do it. We'll also
more better
tonight. More better. We'll also catch up tonight with the president of Oscar Racing, a real, real busy Dave Gameforth is going to join the show tonight. We'll talk to him about his modifieds, his hot rods, and his Oscar sprint cars. Sounds like he's doing really good sponsorship-wise. I got a note there. Ashley.
Yep.
Has done a great job keeping us up to date on everything. See, Queenston Shovels is back on as a title sponsor. I do believe he's got all of them wrapped up and ready to go for 2020. We'll catch up with Dave. We'll talk all things Oscar in hour number two.
The strongest car counts, period, in Ontario is Oscar. That's what Oscar has got right now. The strongest car counts in Ontario racing. On a general basis.
Right.
You know, you look at it, they're getting 20 to 25 to 30, you know, hot rods
yep
out to every event. They're getting
doing
you know
real good
between,
for a relatively new class.
Oh, absolutely. By, you know, between 20 and 25 to 30 modifieds, you know,
perfect
big car counts.
Yep.
And then as well, their pro sprints are right up there as well, 15 to 20, you know. When Oscar comes rolling into town, you've got a tremendous amount of people that are out there racing. And, you know, a lot of that has to, you know, be pointed at the assembled group that they've put together. And Dave has been the leader of that since I can remember. You know, he's done a great job. Looking forward to catching up with him in hour number two and you know, hearing what he's got coming down the line. It seems like the last couple of years he's been able to create news, and
yep
that's a good thing. If you can create news, you can create, you know, excitement and, you know, get the ball rolling. But Dave, you know, has really done a phenomenal job, and it's always great to catch up with him.
Well, we're going to hear from Cole Pern in about, I'd say about 25 minutes, 30 minutes from now. So I wanted to do something different, a little bit different here tonight. it is our final show of 2019, right tonight. And then we're going to be back with you on January the 5th, and that'll take us all the way through to 2020. But tonight is the final show of the year, and I thought, hey, good idea here. Why don't we get the open phone lines at the beginning of the program? And that's what we're going to do. Things have changed a wee bit here. The 800 number, we had an 888 number. It's gone. We got rid of it. It wasn't worth the money for having it. We still have connected lines into the studio. I will tell you the phone number, 519-371-3462. 519-371-3462. I know Susie will be tweeting it out. You can see it on our website. You can see it everywhere. But if you would like to give us a call tonight, we'd love to hear from you. Let's talk 2019 and what you're excited for in 2020. Wide open. The air is yours. And give us a shout here in hour number one. We're going to hit our first break. When we come back, hopefully we'll have you on the other end of the hotline and we'll talk some more.
What's the number again?
The number, 519-371-3462.
Perfect.
There you go. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Hello, race fans. This is Adam Andretti, and you're listening to the best with Racetime Radio.
Well, dear Santa, anything I've ever asked.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by Atlantic Tiltload, specialist in the transportation of industrial equipment across Canada and the U.S. Also by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of Racetime Radio in Nova Scotia.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bulk shopping.
Hey, so I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce,
but I got a good deal.
To the insight of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports.
And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the Sirius XM app.
Cheap Trick guitarist Rick Nielsen on Canada Talks.
The 17 albums of all different stuff, and we've never stopped touring. We never expected to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We never expected something for nothing. It was, you know, we spent our own money making our records, too, you know, and we did it, and we listened to people.
Don't miss a second. Canada Talks, Sirius XM Channel 167, and on demand with the Sirius XM app.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on and
boom. Perfect!
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land.
Baby.
Hear rare interviews and performances. Concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM Channel 20.
Racetime Radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
Grab the free app
at racetimeradio.com.
Taking you all the way to the track and back.
Ooh, don't you think it's a pretty good plan? All I want for Christmas is a real good tan.
And we are back with you, and hopefully we get a real good tan for Christmas, but I highly doubt we're going to get a tan.
We'll get windburn.
Yeah, maybe a little bit of windburn. Yeah, yeah, something like that. And a little frostbite.
Frostbite will change the color of your skin, too. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Let's get to the hotline, shall we, and bring in... Hey, looks like Kent. What's going on, buddy? How you doing?
Oh, not too much. Just getting ready for the holidays.
Good. That's the way to have it. I got some messages here saying, hey, the stream's not working. It's got to be working. We got Kent on the hotline.
Yeah, I had to refresh twice to get you up, but I go through to the racetimeradio.com.
Yeah. Yeah, and the way it works.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So are y'all ready for Christmas there, big guy?
Getting there. We're getting some good news and bad news from the racing world.
Oh, really?
Well, of course, with the Pinty's schedule coming out, and of course, we lost the Riverside race, so
that's huge news, isn't it? And what are you hearing out that way, Kent? I know you're out in the Halifax area, out in Nova Scotia. What's the sentiment?
Well, I don't know. Some people said that our pro stock guys put on a much better show anyway, but I think because last year I didn't actually see the race, but the last 3 years, the Pinty's race was an excellent race, especially some action within the last few laps, the last couple years.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just disappointing for the car count that if you only have 14 cars and one or two of them is a parking or starting park, and
right,
then you get another guy that might blow up or break something very early in the race, well, then you're down to 10 cars running around the track for 300 laps.
But it's tough, isn't it? Like, it really is. Car count has always been, or it always seemed to be a problem at Riverside, and I cannot explain why that it was such a problem.
Well, I have three or four philosophies on this, and I said from the time that they started coming, once the racers and the teams got here,
right,
and seen the facility, they always wanted to come back. It wasn't that. The promoter, the track, always did the best they could to put on the show they could and have, however they would do it, have butts in the grandstand so that it didn't look like they were racing on an empty track.
Right.
I believe, and I might be able to be, somebody might be able to explain and correct me on this, but I believe the letdown is from, one, it's a late race, or late season race.
Right, right, later in the season, August race near the end.
So if you're not in that top 10, say, or maybe you might push it to 12, but top 10,
right,
if you're not in the top 10 in points, the likelihood of you being able to leapfrog cars to get into the top 10,
right,
to increase your points paying money at the end of the season was unlikely.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, those teams outside the top 10 aren't going to travel.
Right.
There's a lot of Quebec and Ontario teams centrally located that fill up the fields in the central part of the country.
Right.
So therefore they're not traveled. But I believe it was the Canadian Tire as the title sponsor, then Pinty's as the title sponsor, and a little bit of the organization, because the way that I seen it from the start, that the way that this would have had to work,
right,
they would have had to go out and target a company in Atlantic Canada that is in the racing family,
right,
that wants to put on a show within the Maritimes tracks,
mm-hmm,
and say, all right, we need you to be the sponsor of these guys for travel.
Yeah.
So whether you put up $2,000 or $2,500 or $2,500
right,
for these teams, that if you show to the track,
mm-hmm,
one condition, show to the track, two conditions, take practice in the track, And because stuff can happen, that's all you can demand the guys to do is to take practice.
Right.
Then you get this traveling money. Because you got all these huge haulers, huge teams, whether they're flying or they're driving in the haulers, or sometimes you hear stories of that it's the car drivers or somebody on the team is also there, because they're coming so far east and they can only bring so few guys, that one of the hauler guard driver is also a pit crew guy.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. But I believe that if there was between $1,500 to $2,500 offered to every team that pulled through that back gate at that track, I believe that you would have 25 cars or 20 cars at that track once the people got here once to see it. The first time you got to get them here. The second time they're going to be sold on racing on one of the best facilities within Canada. And I would probably, without seeing the ones in the rest of Canada, before Jocasta came back online,
right?
I would argue and bet that Riverside would be one of the best tracks.
I would still put them in the best track.
They're definitely in the top two or three, I would think.
And in saying that, you know, when you look at the metrics, you know, on the team side of things, obviously you're 100% correct. You know, the top 10, you know, they're going to travel everywhere. They're going to go everywhere.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if there's a travel credit, if there's you know, XYZ in money being offered. It needs to all be worth it for every team front to back. So like you're saying, the travel, cover the travel or cover whatever, XYZ.
Yep.
I think the biggest thing that is standing against Pinty's is the total cost deficit that it takes to be competitive versus to compete, if that makes sense. When I look at how much it costs a small market team without a corporate partner, I mean, you're in excess of, you know, that $15,000 to $25,000 per race to do it. That's without any incurred expenses after the race. So like wreckage or, you know, blown motors or things like that. You're in that realm, you know, price point to go out there and be on the racetrack. Then you're up against the personnel side of things. You need good qualified people to be on and part of your team. So on top of all of that, you're in this competition to get the qualified staff on the team, you know, whether it be crew chief or car chief or you know, crew guys.
Valid point though. One thing that I got to inject in here is the tour also goes west, and it goes all the way out to Alberta, which is further away than what it is from where we're centrally located out to Riverside.
But there's less.
Four races there, Joe.
Yes, there we go. You're doing three races out there.
No, and that's four, because you have Saskatoon.
You're doing two at Saskatoon and one at Edmonton. So you got three races.
Okay, there used to be four.
Correct. You used to have Vernon. You used to, and then you have the other three.
Away.
So the trip, you know, it doesn't matter where you put it on the schedule. The trip out east is the farthest travel without numerous races
on a single
bill.
The other thing, if they couldn't add another race, I don't know if there would be another track. That would be easily be able to, because it takes a lot of work by the track to convert and to be up to the standards of the Pinty Series racing. So I'm not sure if there's another one that can easily convert, because you take Riverside, their inside pit wall and all that to create the pit lane and the pit boxes are just temporary cement barriers.
Right.
Where some other tracks, they're not really set up with that, because they might not, like Halifax, they don't have an interior pit field.
That's totally fine. Yeah, like
that's the same Chaudière. There is no pit road.
Exactly. Chaudière. You look at Chaudière. There's no pit road in there. Really,
what I really would have liked to see before Pinty's left or Riverside gave it up. I don't know what expired there as far as their contract and obligations and all that. But what I really would have liked to have seen is, one, like I say, got to get that, and I think you have to have that regional sponsor. The national sponsors are great, but you take some of those national sponsors that are sponsoring the big races or whatever within Central Canada, they're not in the maritime market. So you need a maritime sponsor, regional sponsor,
right,
to step up, one, to cover the travel. And then if you made it that Riverside was twin 150s, something like Saskatoon switched to,
right,
then you have two-point races and two-money races. So if you had, if you were able to come meet, and I don't know if the, does Finty pay every finish position?
I do believe so, yeah. They pay all the way back.
There's a pay scale there, but yeah, the even the last place car would get some money, would they not?
Yes.
But no matter what, even if you, like the winning guy is going to spend, you know, money to win the race. Like, that's just the way that it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's not...
It's not about the money.
It's not about the money, and that's the...
On
that's,
the individual race, it's not about the money, but it has to be about the money to the team...
Correct.
...at the end of the season.
Yep.
Yep, I agree because wholeheartedly.
Their sponsors are going to put up so much money...
Yep.
...to get the coverage for the season, but, like, DJ himself, his team... If he's not just on the single race, because you can't look at it like that if you have a 12 or 14 race season, but at the end of the season, if his, I'm sure that when they're going out and they're targeting their sponsorship, they're looking for enough sponsorship on that car to pay what they're known cost are.
Oh, exactly. They are. But also, Ken, you got to remember in this whole mix that from a series perspective, from a car sponsor perspective, which are national, I kind of think that they're missing the boat by not being in the Maritimes, and they're only going as far east as Quebec. It's got to be that's got to be a big time consideration. I don't know why it's not happening. The only thing I know is they're missing the boat. If you ask me. They're missing the boat. They need that market.
Well, like I say, there was only the one race that I missed live. And like I say, there, other than some of the car counts, it is real good racing. And then when you get to meet the guys during the autographs and sessions, I know myself, and there's probably many of the other fans too, we would personally thank the teams for coming this far east, because we know that we're out here in a one-off type situation. But Pinty's, like you say, Joe, they're missing the boat. They're nationally advertising for what they are, trying to sell their food products. I think that they're definitely missing the boat. And when you do this race and stuff, everybody says, support these people because these are the ones that support us.
Right.
Well, I think you've lost Atlantic Canada as far as your brand loyalty to your product when you lose the race.
Yeah, that is a tough situation, and we thank you for your call tonight, Kent. It's
but
definitely
the other thing, just one more comment on that they could fix it.
And how can they do that?
We've had this conversation a few times. It's the car. Pinty Series car is a car by itself.
Right.
Right? Yeah. We talked before about going to what the ARCA car uses, or if their series was some type of a different scale of like a pro stock car, like a Super Late model.
Right.
But a car that was more affordable, because we used to have two guys from the east that would race.
Yeah.
But if the car was... If the guys that race in the Pro Stock Tour had an adaptable car, because we know it's not going to be the exact same car.
And that was the magic of CASCAR. That was what CASCAR had in their back pocket as the ace in the hole. That's, they had, when CASCAR was there, And I think we've been very vocal on this program that in general, that's what NASCAR missed the boat on, is the feeder portion of this whole deal.
Well, and it's like been a problem all the way through.
Exactly. When you look at CASCAR, CASCAR used to have the CASCAR Western Series. It used to have the CASCAR Eastern Series, which was the Sportsman. And then it had the CASCAR Super Series. Now, when you would go west, there was likely only 10 or 12 guys that could afford to run the entire Super Series schedule.
From Ontario, that would go.
That would go from Ontario or from Quebec or you know, there was only a handful of guys that could do it.
Yep.
But when they would roll into Calgary Race City and they would roll in there, there would be maybe 12 or 14 guys, you know, that are CASCAR Super Series competitors. But there was 35 cars in Calgary Race City that raced there every single night.
Yeah,
that was the exact same car. So when they would show up, there'd be 40 of them. Well, hey, that's an amazing deal. When I look at, if I had a wish list, and I can't put what NASCAR is doing down because they do a great job. If I could have a wish list and I could say, okay, I'm going to hit the reset button, the NASCAR Pinty Series today would be Canada's super late model. It would be the Sears SRL super late model series that you see in the Southwest Tour, in California, in Utah, in Nevada, all out that way. That's what the NASCAR Pinty Series would be, is a bunch of super late models, the most badass super late models that you've ever seen, but they would be template body super lates. That way you could take a pro stock tour car, maybe throw a 500 or 600 horsepower motor and go have at it. When I look at what the Pinty Series is up against, you do have to build a purpose-built Pinty's car to go Pinty's racing.
Yep.
And,
exactly.
And you know, it's definitely a difficult deal. I wish that was the way that it could be. But in order to take that away and make that happen, there are way too many Pinty's cars to throw them under the bus. And I think that's kind of the problem that the entire industry is up against, not just the NASCAR Pinty Series.
But couldn't they race the Super 8 Salvo?
Yep. They sure could.
You could.
Can't
we? But anyways, guys, I think that's great. It sounds great what you're doing at Sauble. I think the modified is the counteract to the bad news for the Maritimes. I think the good news coming in 2020 for Maritime race fans will be our modified tour. They've started showing a few cars on Facebook, so if anybody's interested, stay tuned to the Heart of a Champion. They're the ones that are sort of organizing that deal, and it's going to be pretty exciting to see those vintage cars back on track.
That's you cool. Want to believe it. And the IWK 250. Hey, there's nothing beating that baby, and I can't wait for this year's IWK, bud.
I think the only thing you could top it with is the $250,000 Grand Nationals at Jukasa.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens, buddy. Hey, Kent.
Talk to you later. Merry Christmas, boys.
Have a Merry Christmas. Thanks so much for the call. That is Kent out on Canada's East Coast. We're going to hit this break, and we will be back. Stay with us.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Hi, race fans. This is Brad Keselowski. You're listening to Race Time Radio. Stopping.
And I've brought me some corn for poppin'.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Logano's in the wall. He'll slide up and he'll slam on the Sabre Baron. He kicks Larson. He'll send Larson.
The thrill of the race. Live from the track.
Just goes sliding into it, out of control.
It's unbelievable how quickly things can change in racing. There's no weak spot.
You just never know how it's going to play out.
Insider access to the drivers.
We'll roll with it. We're enjoying it. We'll collect as many trophies as we can.
And the exclusive home to Happy Hours, hosted by Kevin Harvick.
It's a new normal. Better figure it out.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAP TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAP TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAP TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Canadian singer-songwriter Stephen Page.
I've been fairly quiet about political things over the last bunch of years. You know, I moved to the United States. I can't vote there. I'm not a citizen. I can't vote here anymore because I've been away for longer than 5 years. And I was wondering whether I had a right to speak up or whether it mattered whether I spoke up. Closest to a conclusion that I could come is this is who I am. And the best thing I can be as an artist is honest.
Canada Talks, Sirius XM Channel 167.
Racetime Radio.
Only on Sirius XM 167.
We get you close. If you're looking for miles per gallon, you're definitely at the wrong place. Maybe a few channels up or a few channels down, you'll find it. But this is Racetime Radio on Sirius XM 167, Canada Talks. And now, back with your host, Joe Chisholm.
If any of you are looking for any last-minute gift ideas for me, I have one. I like Frank Shirley, my boss, right here tonight.
With a big ribbon on his head. And I want to look him straight in the eye, and I want to tell him what a cheap, lying, no-good, rotten, four-flushing, low-life, snake-licking, dirt-eating, inbred, overstuffed, ignorant, blood-sucking, dog-kissing, brainless, dickless, hopeless, heartless, fat-ass, bug-eyed, stiff-legged, spotty-lipped, worm-headed sack of monkey shit he is! Hallelujah! Where's the Tylenol?
Oh, welcome back, everybody, to Racetime Radio. A little bit of holiday fun there. I never, ever miss Christmas vacation. How about you?
I love it. It's a great one. That's
a classic, man.
It is. It's 100% a classic. Yeah. When you look at, that is one thing. I'm pretty good at memorizing stuff.
Yeah, you'd never be able
and
to memorize
and this
that,
time
baby.
Of year, this yeah. time of year, It's always something that I'm like, I'm going to memorize that rant one day so that I could just go off and say it.
Yeah.
And then I just never do it. And then you play it and it's awesome.
Yeah. You got to remember to
Where's the Tylenol?
Well, you're going to hear more of that coming back from some of the breaks. Of course, this is our final show of 2019. And it's Christmas. Just about. And we're heading to it. And I hope everybody's ready for the holidays. It is simply going to be a dandy. We got a lot to look forward to. Of course, Kent alluded to it there. The NASCAR Pinty Series schedule is out, Junior, and it does look different. We've got Sunset Speedway added back to the schedule. Of course, the series ran at Sunset, I don't know, 3 years ago, two years ago.
Yep.
They ran it for a couple of years. Yep. There was 2 years that they ran the NASCAR Pinty Series, and then it went away. And now it's coming back. It's at Sunset Speedway. And the other addition to the schedule is Oswego. And they're going to go on dirt, which we talked about last week. Those are the two additions. The two that are not on the schedule anymore are Riverside International Speedway. Not going to go east. Not that far east. And they're not going to be going back to New Hampshire. For that big weekend.
And, of course, they're not going back to St. Eustache, and they've added iCar as well.
St. Eustache is gone.
And iCar is back in.
Yeah.
That's another change. The schedule itself is bulletproof. It's going to be a good season. It's going to be a good year. And it's going to be surprising what is going to come of what next year is. I think next year is going to be a building year for Pinty's. I think that, looking at, in general, what they've laid out. Obviously, not going to Riverside, it hurts my heart. I miss it. I love that racetrack.
And that's from a personal level.
Going to
and
Loudon.
I feel the same way.
Yeah.
But like from a business perspective, and, it's their business. They do what they want. But you can't call yourself a national tour anymore if you're not in the East.
But it's like saying you can't call yourself a national tour because you don't go to Nunavut either. It's still the most national series across the board.
Well, it is.
That's there. You're racing
you
from the farthest east reaches of Quebec all the way over to, Edmonton, Alberta, which is it's a big distance. That's
still
a massive amount of distance.
Sure it is.
Now, the Loudon, New Hampshire portion, I applaud that move. I love that
move.
I couldn't figure
that out anyway. A Canadian series that, you should have more Canadian dates. And no, we're going to go down to New Hampshire.
But I can remember
the dollar
back
is 30 like you're losing 30 cents on the dollar.
I can remember back to having Roger Curtis on this exact program.
Right.
Talking to him about having NASCAR Pinty's cars on Michigan, which was a 2-hour.
No,
you know, and
to me, that would make sense. It's right there. And it's coupled in with the cup race. That's what I was thinking.
Well, it's right there for Ontario,
not the
guys.
Way,
but
not the way that this is was laid out.
When you look at where Loudoun is, it was closer going to Loudoun than it was going to Riverside. You know, and it's geographically for all the Ontario teams, it was only about a 13-hour drive to Loudoun, where it was, you know, it's a 16-plus on the way to Riverside.
What were the benefits of going to Loudoun, New Hampshire? Tell me what the benefits were.
The larger racetrack, the 1-mile racetrack.
The big racetrack. Okay,
that
so we're doing it for the 17 guys that were racing it.
Well, and what they had for a show at New Hampshire.
Did you see how many people were in the grandstand by chance?
Yeah, there wasn't many.
No.
But what they were trying to do was appease Loudoun because they no longer had a cup race.
Come on.
It was a different content, and it was a big experiment that I don't think went... I mean, it went well to a certain degree. I don't think that it was what, you know, could have happened out of that deal.
Right.
But that being said, it was a 1-mile racetrack, and Canadian people do not have a 1-mile racetrack to go race on.
So?
It's something different.
So?
It's something big.
Yeah, something there. I'll give you that. It's something different, something big. It's in the United States. It is what it is. But I just couldn't figure our Canadian tour going down there and running that race. But that's just me talking. That's just me. When there's other Canadian speedways that would really like to get one of those Pinty's races, maybe not. Maybe there isn't Canadian speedways that want that race. I don't know.
There are other Canadian racetracks that could have a Pinty's race.
That they've changed the format around, and you don't have to have a pit road down the center.
That's been two years. Well,
since it went to Edmonton.
Yeah.
Initially, when they went to Edmonton, there was no pit road.
Exactly.
So they had to come up with something, right?
Yep.
If they're going to go to Edmonton, then it doesn't have a pit road.
When you look at what the Pinty series is next year, I think it's one of the most diverse schedules in motorsports.
It's going to be neat. No problem. It's looking more like an ARCA schedule with a dirt track in there, with road courses in there.
Yep.
I think what's also going to be extremely interesting is when we do get to that Labor Day weekend. I don't think, at least I haven't seen an official announcement yet on when the Canadian Short Track Nationals are going to run again at Jucasa. But we already know now that the NASCAR Pinty Series and the NASCAR Trucks are going to be at CTMP that weekend. What is going to happen that weekend? If the Canadian Short Track Nationals goes on at the same time, and now you've got two of the biggest events in Canada on at the same time.
Within 2 hours drive of each other, or two
well,
and a half, three
yeah, but
hours.
People aren't going to shuttle back and forth.
No, exactly.
They're not going to do that. What are you going to do? You're going to split the fan base right down the middle? That just flat out doesn't make any sense.
If it happens. I don't know when
it's
going to be. Yeah,
and if it happens. If it happens. I don't know.
I think that the Short Track Nationals has got the ability to attract a lot of people regardless, and I think there's a different fan base.
A lot of race cars, I'll give you that.
And when there's a lot of race cars, there's a lot of people.
Well, yeah, but the people you're depending on are now taking in the truck race, or they're taking in the Pinty Series 2 hours down the road.
I think that there's...
You only got one opportunity to
There's a very large segment of people that are road racing fans at Mossport or at CTMP.
Oh, there's a lot of oval track fans that are going to be at that race because you only get one opportunity to see the trucks in Canada on that weekend.
But
that's it.
A diehard oval track fan doesn't necessarily like road racing.
They do now.
No,
they do now.
Well, I mean, it's, you
they
know.
They do now. IR one.
Yeah.
I never used to. I love it now. I just absolutely love it.
But what I'm saying is, you know, there's races to be had. It's not like we're talking about an oval track scheduling over another oval track for a big pro late model race that weekend. Like if Delaware Speedway was like, okay, we're gonna have a $500,000 to win pro late model race the same weekend as Jocassa, that's something that is completely different.
It isn't going to affect their car count. I will give you that. The cars are gonna be where the cars are.
So now you've got the fan. Choice.
Think about the fan.
Yeah.
The fan. Now what are you gonna do? Do you want to go see that truck race, or do you want to go see the Canadian Short Track National? Now you've got to choose. Where it should, you shouldn't have to choose for two major events like that. Why can one not be on this weekend and one be on that weekend? It just doesn't quite truthfully make sense, because now the fans are going to be divided. Now it isn't the cars being divided. Now, potentially, because I don't know for sure. I'm just going off of what's in the air. What's in the air right now? Sounds like the Canadian Short Track Nationals at Jocassa is going to be on Labor Day weekend. And I already know now, and I've known for a long time, that CTMP is going to have the Silverado 250 weekend on Labor Day weekend.
Yep.
with the NASCAR Pinty Series. It's going to be Canada's ultimate NASCAR weekend.
Yep.
Now you're going to, as a race fan, now you got to choose which one are you going to go do.
Yep.
And that, to me, it's too bad. It's too bad because you're not going to have the maximum potential at either one.
Yep.
Other than car count. Car count, those cars are going to be where they are. It's not like there's two of the same races on at the same.
But
this year is just going to split the fan base right down the center.
I honestly think that when I go to, because I spend
where
a lot of time.
Where are you going to go?
Well,
that weekend
I have to go to the
Pinty
Race.
Oh, there you go. You have to.
Now, that being said,
yeah,
you know, I love the truck weekend at Mossport. I absolutely love it. It's an amazing weekend.
It is.
It's a phenomenal weekend. If I wasn't spotting, I would want to be there regardless.
Yes.
So, in saying that, I love the truck weekend. But I also love big late model shows.
So do I. And
it's, you know, it comes down to you've got the ability to do one or the other. I mean, that's kind of a good problem to have because they're two cool events.
It's not a good problem to have, though, to have the fans split down the center. Just me.
I think that, you know, when you look at it, I think that they're going to attract they do attract different bases. The base. Now, the fringe, which is a big segment of the grandstand on road racing or asphalt, I think the fringe, you know, will be split. But I think that there is enough of a core of late model fans to fill the grandstands for that late model show.
You think?
And I think that there are a big enough segment,
I hope,
of fans who like truck racing and like the NASCAR Pinty Series and the Canadian Touring Cars and all those that want to camp out and they want to go to CTMP.
Well, and
when I go to CTMP,
yep,
there is a very vastly different clientele.
Sure, there
at
is.
CTMP,
yes,
than there is at an APC race or at the Canadian Short Track Nationals.
Are you talking Victoria Fest weekend or are you talking Silverado 250 weekend? Because it is a different clientele for the Silverado 250 weekend.
But I would say both, just at the track in general.
I don't know, man. When you look at the Silverado 250 weekend,
yep,
you tell me how many guys that you would run into at an APC race, at the Short Track Nationals, at whatever. Yep. How many of those guys are in and around the truck garage, and I can tell you there is a ton. I can't say that those same guys are there Victoria Day Fest weekend.
Yeah, which
I can't say that.
Yeah, and
there's a lot of guys there.
There's a lot of people who you know love CTMP, and I am one of them. That being said, I think that there's a vast difference between the clientele, the base, the fabric of what is at the event as a fan base.
Yeah.
There's a vast difference between who would give anything to go see Jocassa or give anything to go see Mossport or CTMP.
Yeah.
And I think that they have a diverse enough base that they would both be successful sure, they might split the pot a little bit. And sure, there might be some competition on where you can go. And if anything, it's going to put the pressure on both of them to offer something to the fan base that's going to attract them.
CTMP's already offered it. They got race.
No, I it's mean offering, there. Offering it in value add, not value prop.
Huh?
No.
In value add. No, like they're both of them are going to have to offer ticket packages.
They always
that are,
do.
That are,
they always do.
That are more aggressive.
That are more aggressive.
And you know, there's certain things that they can do to inspire people to come.
Well, they're going to have
a good
come up
promoter
with some...
is always going to chase down the fan.
Sure,
right.
Sure.
And it kind of puts it both into, you know, into the promoter's hands to fill the stands and to get the car count and to get all those things. I think that the base fabric of what is going to show up and roll in through the back gate, through the front gate.
Back gate is there at
Jucasa. And it's there on both sides.
No, they're going to be at Jucasa for the amount of money these guys are running for. Hands down, it won't matter where the super late model race is. They're going to be at Jucasa. The teams will be at Jucasa. I guarantee it. The problem's going to be is that fan split right down the middle. If that race, and trust me, I don't know when that race is going to happen, if it's going to happen on the Labor Day weekend. I haven't seen any releases. I'm just hearing that that race is going to go again on the Labor Day weekend. If that race moved to the weekend before the Labor Day weekend or the weekend after the Labor Day weekend, you wouldn't have the same problem.
Yeah.
It would go away because now fans could do that race that weekend, that race that weekend,
yep.
And they would be two massive events.
Yep.
But it, by the sounds of it, and we don't know until we get a release when that actual race. We know the truck race is going to happen.
Yeah.
On Labor Day weekend. It's been announced since last summer.
Either way, they both eat into each other's, for sure. And they dilute the how many people are going to be at both events.
They
I
won't think be they, if they're they on both, different weekends.
If they're on different weekends, they
there is
they don't
no
do
difference.
That.
Yep.
That being said, on how much it costs to go camping for the weekend, if you're going camping, one or the other, it doesn't mean that you can make both anyways.
Yeah. Oh, no,
you know,
can't.
And no.
You can't
if they were
both.
On separate weekends.
Oh, if they're on separate
if they're on
weekends,
separate weekends
good.
It doesn't mean that you're guaranteed to get the guy to go to both.
All I can do
if
is
they want to.
Cross my fingers and hope both are successful. I know I'm going to be pushing for them to be successful, but I can guarantee there's going to be fans split right down the center if they're on at the same time on the same weekend.
Yeah.
And that would just be 100% a shame. I don't know.
But that's what I'm saying is I don't think that you can guarantee that even if you want to. If you had a camper.
Yep.
If you had a camper and you know you really want to see the trucks at CTMP.
Yep.
And you really want to see the Canadian Short Track Nationals and they're both on separate weekends.
Oh, separate weekends. Yeah. You're going to go to both.
Are you going to go to both?
Sure you are. Absolutely.
Absolutely. To a fan. How much?
They're not picking between the two events.
If
they're not going to pick between them.
I mean, if they're going to camp, they're going to spend $500 over the course of the weekend.
Listen, hold that thought.
People don't have that kind of money. Not all people. Some people do.
I got to throw it back to Toronto. Do the quick news highlights, and then we're coming back for hour two. Cole Pern is on the other side of this break. So is Matt Robley and Dave Gainsforth. We've got lots still to come tonight on Race Time Radio. Just hold that thought, Junior. We will continue that discussion on the other side. It's going to get messed up, I can guarantee it, unless we can find some normalcy where, you know, you got two big events on two separate weekends. That would be the ticket. Hopefully, that's the way it works out. And that's all you can do at this point is just hope that it's going to work out. Back to you in Toronto, Scott. We will be back with everybody in like 90 seconds. For hour number two tonight.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, channel 167.
Race Time Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Race Time Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on.
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90. With the two Joes
here on Racetime Radio
on Sirius XM 167,
where Canada talks.
This next guest, if there was hot headlines, this guy created it just last Monday. Let's welcome to the show crew chief for the number 19 JGR, Martin Truex, his crew chief, Cole Pernas, with us on the hotline. Cole, how are you today?
I'm okay, yeah. Yeah, like I said, it's been a busy week, but letting the dust settle a little bit, finally.
Incredible news. You're stepping away from the number 19 car and Martin Truex, the success you guys have had. Let's look at it. 24 wins. You got a championship. You were in the playoffs 4 out of 6 years. You guys have got great numbers. Why are you stepping away?
It's more of a life decision than a job decision, if anything. I feel like, we could continue on and got a lot more wins and had more success for sure. It's just, it's just a matter of, being able to spend more time with my family. If there was a 20 race schedule, it'd be one thing, but when you're in the Cup Series and you're trying to do it at a high level, it's a 24/7 job, literally, no joke on that. And just with two young kids and all that, I felt like I was just, not really getting anything else done other than racing. My wife and I, we were able to work up a plan and put it into motion and just decided that it was time to take a different approach.
Amazing, and good on you. Everybody, fans, and I consider myself a fan of this great sport, we sit back and we watch on Sunday or we watch on Saturday or go to our local short track. There is a lot that goes behind it, especially at the Cup Series level, right? You guys are on this all the time. There is no off season.
No, there isn't, and there is no off time during the week, It's just, you get into your... you fly out Thursday night and you're into the weekend and get back Sunday night and then you're in the shop Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, long days, getting ready for the next week. And then you kind of have half a day off on Thursday, but really you're still working, prepping for the next weekend. And it just, it just continues and continues and continues, which is fine. That's the job, It's just, what it is when you sign up for it. So it's just, we're fortunate enough we've been frugal enough over the years to, put ourselves in a position where we could choose a different path.
Now, was this as big a surprise to Martin as it was to all of us? Because it'd be like losing his right arm.
Yeah, that was a tough conversation to have. I had a lot of them, at the beginning of this week, but it was just, it's hard. You feel like you're letting everybody down in a way. We had a really tight-knit group as a team, and, some of my best friends for life were all on that team, and that's going to be tough. I think I'm going to miss seeing those guys every day and being part of their lives, but, at the same sense, it's everybody understood. It's a lot of people, it's easy to, from the driver's standpoint, it's, they got a little bit different, lifestyle. It's not quite the same amount of hours and time commitment that you have to put in being on the team, so... I think the team guys definitely understood, more so, and, they're sad, but Martin was great. Martin's just an unbelievable person and a great guy, so fortunate to have my years, being a crew chief only with him, and that's something I'm really proud of.
Well, and that's what everybody's going to do on that team, right, is look back on the successes. You can't take that away. It was there, and you guys really did it. Is there anyone, Cole, on that JGR team, on the number 19 team, that you have been mentoring that is potentially going to be able to step up into your role?
Yeah, without saying too much, because I don't want to get myself in trouble. But I think they've got a plan in place, and it's one that I'm really excited about. I feel like it was kind of nice. It was what I was hoping would happen, and that's kind of what route they're going to go as well. So it's kind of nice when everybody agrees on something so easily. So it's something that is going to be great. Like, it's something I'm going to still be able to be somewhat a part of, you know, from a distance, just because of all the close relationships and stuff like that. I'm going to be there to, you know, try and help them and do whatever I can from afar to make sure that they, you know, continue on the success that they've been having.
The path that you took to get to where you are today as crew chief on that number 19 car, famed 19 car, championship team car, the path you took as a Canadian young guy, what path did you take to get to where you are?
A lot of hard work and a lot of, a lot of leaps of faith along the way. You got to be, I was fortunate enough to grow up in a racing family and get a ton of experience myself, make a lot of mistakes and screw up and learn and just continue to push forward. So I think that's the biggest thing is just, you're not going to be perfect right out of the bat, and it's just, it takes time, and as long as you're putting the work in and you're working smart, and you can get there. But at the same point, it was a lot of moments along the time where you weren't really sure how it was going to work out, and just trusted our gut, and fortunate enough to meet a lot of good people that helped us out along the way.
So there is an element of being in the right place at the right time, not just having the knowledge, but you got to be in the right place at the right time for things to happen.
Yeah, it's old adage, right? Luck is where preparation meets opportunity. So, I was fortunate enough to have that work out for me.
Well, I'll tell you what, this is it's incredible. The years that you have given all of us, not just race fans, but all Canadian race fans, to have someone of your stature on top of a box and becoming a champion was truly cool to watch. Now when you turn the page, what is next for Cole Pearn?
We're looking at a lot of things, kind of letting the dust settle. We got a rough plan of what we're going to do most of the time. And then kind of waiting to see what else we do. Maybe there'll be some consulting work or, some media work, on the side or something. So either way, we're just, kind of letting this soak in, and, we decided we're moving, to Western Canada. So we're excited about that. My wife and I are both Canadian. We were pretty passionate about our kids growing up here, and that's something that we had made a promise to each other that we would do that. And, we stretched out a few years longer than what we were originally planning, but it made sense to do that. And yeah, so we're just we're excited for them to get a similar kind of culture, Canadian culture, growing up that we had, and one of one of the cultures I feel like is, the best in the world.
So all those years that you spent in Colorado, I guess BC is kind of like Colorado, right?
Yeah, we love the mountains. We love the outdoors. We made that a big part of our life, being out in Colorado. And, if you're going to be in Canada and have that part of your culture, then, British Columbia is pretty much where you got to land. So, we talked about going back to Colorado potentially, but the whole being back in Canada was really important to us.
So safe to say you're going to stay within racing. It's in your veins, otherwise you wouldn't be in it as far and as deep as what you have been. It's safe to say you're going to stay within racing, and there's tracks out there like Area 27, a lot of big race teams out there too in Canada.
Yeah, there's tons of opportunities there. I just kind of let it all filter in, and then we'll make a plan and go from there. But in the meantime, going to be a lot of skiing and stuff like that in our time out here. So we're just excited. I think it's going to be kind of an interesting process, just kind of soaking it all in, and then making a plan that suits what we want to do.
Any immediate family out there in BC? Because I know you're from, you're Mount Bridges here in Ontario, right?
No, just a lot of friends and stuff. Got a lot of great friends out here over the years. No immediate family, no. But at least we can make a domestic flight now to go home. That's nice.
Yeah, it's going to be real cool. You know, the hockey teams supposedly are better here in Ontario, but the air is cleaner out there, I'll give you that.
Yeah, I'm still going to be a Leaf fan. I can't, I'm too used to losing. I don't want to change it up.
It's going to be cool to have you back home, Cole. This shocked a lot of people. I know we all can't wait to see what you've got coming down the line and what the next page looks like for you. But good on you, man. I said to Junior, you know, you can't live like a gypsy all your life, especially if you got a family. You know, doing what you were doing had to be grueling. It had to be tough. And to stay on top of your game, and you guys definitely stayed on top of your game the whole time. If it wasn't for that last dreaded set of tires, you would have had two championships, man.
I know. I just can't think about that, to be honest. So, you know, that was a tough one. I felt like, you know, we had a great playoff. You know, won almost every opening round, and then you know, set ourselves up prime to work on Homestead. And we, you know, we worked super hard on it leading up to there, and had a great game plan and an awesome car, and then managed to pull off one of the biggest gaffes I've ever been a part of. So. I finally, last week, I watched the unedited helmet cam, you know, from our front tire carrier, and it was, I almost got sick to my stomach. So other than that, I haven't watched the race. I've kind of tried to block it out of my mind.
I wouldn't doubt it. Where's NASCAR heading in 2020 and beyond? Can you see brighter spots in NASCAR?
The sport's going to go through a big change. You know, the new car's coming in 2020, and It's going to be really difficult next year for the sport. You know, maybe it puts it in a better place, but on a personal level, there's going to be a lot of layoffs. You know, it's basically going to somewhat of a spec car, and it's going to be tough to see. A lot of hard decisions are going to be made at a lot of companies. It's going to affect a lot of people's livelihoods. So we're kind of sad to see that. We've got a little bit of tip of the iceberg this year. You know, going into 2020, but going into 2021, it's—I don't know—it's going to be—it's going to be interesting. Hopefully, it's the right path, and it puts the sport in the more economical position where there can be more teams and more growth. But I don't know. They're at a leap of faith standpoint for sure.
Well, you got when you get put in that box, right? The box is either going to get tighter, or there's going to be less in it, is what I've seen. And I know even at Sauble Speedway, we're trying something totally new this year with our grassroots stuff. And we're going to try and use the clock, use the technology, and take the roots of the sport and mash them together with today's technology. And we're going to set a time or use a little bit of bracket racing and see how that works and not worry about how the teams get to that time. It's going to be something totally different, and it should work out to be more affordable and keep the guys from spending and outspending themselves.
Yeah, it's a tough thing with competition. I don't know. I think you see Formula One going through the same. You know, they're trying to put a cost cap in. I don't know. It's tough, right? It's always been free enterprise is what's made the sport. And I don't know. You want to see it grow, but in the same sense, you don't want it to lose what's made it so great.
Exactly. Ever looked at IndyCar, Formula One? Do you think those guys will come a knocking and try and get Cole back into this game some other way?
Yeah, there's been some opportunities. I think all across the board. I think it's just a matter of picking the right situation. And I don't know. I got to soak it in for a little bit. And you know, I've been so locked into doing one thing for 12 years now. So it's. Gotta kind of reflect a bit and then go from there.
Well, you've earned the right, my friend, to strap on those boards, grab the kids and the wife, and have some fun in the mountains out there in BC. I know I look forward to catching up with you again, and we'll check in with you from now and then and see how the progress is coming along. From all of us here at Racetime Radio, and I imagine I can speak for millions of race fans, gotta thank you for the time you've dedicated and what you did, because I'll tell you what, from my side of the fence, you made NASCAR a whole lot more watchable and a reason to watch with you guys doing what you did. It was exciting stuff, Cole.
Oh, thanks a lot. You know, and thanks to all the, ton of support I've had, from Canadian race fans and race fans in general. It's just been overwhelming, especially this week, just all the kind messages and stuff. It's been staggering a bit, so I'm gonna try and get to replying to all of them, but my phone is my phone's been blowing up all week. So you know, that's just really cool, and just a ton of support, which has been amazing.
Well, you have a good one. Have a Merry Christmas to you and the family, and definitely a Happy New Year. And we'll stay tuned. We'll find out what Cole gets up to.
Sounds good. I appreciate it.
Yeah, what a great interview with Cole. He's going to be missed in this sport, Junior.
Yeah, he will be, and he's the guy that, you know, all Canada can kind of point at and say that guy made it. You know,
yeah,
from the sport, and he turned a lot of heads and made, you know, he made a lot of fans too.
Sure did.
You know, a lot of people, you know, realize that guy sitting up on top of that pit box wearing that T-shirt. You know, he took a different approach. He was kind of outlaw with, you know, the approach that he took, and he's an ambassador of the sport for sure. You know, from north of the border.
Quick break. When we come back, easy for me to say, Matt Robley will join us next here on Race Time.
Oh, I know. It goes, asphalt's racing on dirt for planting potatoes. But I ain't saying that.
You already did. This time each year.
Well, way up north where the air gets cold.
Race Time Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Hear rare interviews and performances. Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM Channel 20.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on.
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAV TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bulk shopping.
Hey, sir, I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce,
but I got a good deal.
To the insight of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports.
And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the Sirius XM app.
Taking you all the way to the track and back. It's Race Time Radio.
How you doing, Bubba J? I'm doing pretty good. What have you been doing today? Same thing I do every weekend, just watching NASCAR and drinking beer.
Too much. Too much fun. Welcome back, everybody, to Race Time Radio. We got Matt Robley coming up, and that buzz, Junior, is gone.
There was a little bit of a buzz.
Yeah.
But I do have a note here.
Do you? You got a note.
From crew chief last year. Dave White.
Davey White.
And he said, stop stealing my outlaw line. He says he's outlaw all the time. He thinks he's really outlaw.
Yeah.
So I replied back to him and I said, ha ha ha, Pern is more outlaw than you.
No, big time.
That is going to piss him off.
Is
he's going to be upset.
Is he?
He's going to be upset with that line because he is outlaw.
Is he?
But
Outlaw.
He's Outlaw Original, he says. That's what he says. But as he's listening here, he's going to be shaking his head, and he's going to be saying fat jokes in his head.
Will he?
He'll probably say them out loud, and then he'll verbalize them in text form. But Pern is more outlaw than you, Whitey.
There you go.
Just saying.
There you go. Let's get back to the hotline, shall we? And let's welcome in a guy that he's not outlaw. He is a late model driver from Delaware Speedway.
His dad's OG, though.
Oh.
His dad's OG.
What's OG?
Original gangster.
Oh, original gangster.
He's not. I wouldn't classify Matt Robley as outlaw.
No.
But his dad's an OG.
And that's what I said. He's no outlaw. Nope. He is Matt Robley. And we got him on the hotline. Matty, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, guys. How are you? It's nice to hear from you again.
Yeah. So, you got some plans for 2020. Sounds like things are in cement. You're good to go.
Yes, for sure. We're planning on running our Delaware season again and looking to expand on things for next year.
How many years have you been behind the wheel of a race car now, Matt? You are you're a veteran now.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. I sat down and did the math. 2020 is going to be my 20th full-time season racing something, be it a micro sprint or a go-kart or a truck or a sportsman car or a late model or a street stock, you name it.
Okay, stop it. You're really making me feel old now. When you got 20 years under your belt, I'm really starting to. I can remember when you fired up, kiddo.
Yeah, I know. It's been a while, but it's been a fun experience, and I'm sure I'm glad to have had it.
Dad's been on the radio so long, it was black and white back in the day. That's how.
Okay. Yeah. Yep.
That was a good one, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm proud. I'm proud of myself. Oh, that was a good one.
Yeah.
That was
a zing. Somebody going to get a hurting tonight.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Too funny. Matty, you got that car ready to go. What's the race car going to look like this year? Did you go with a new scheme? What do you got coming?
Yeah. Well, last year we kind of spiced things up a little bit with the new late model. So we added a little bit of color, a little bit of pizzazz. I think we're going to see a little bit more of the same. I was really happy with the way the car turned out, and all the sponsors sure seem to enjoy it. We got a lot of the same people involved again this year, so I think we're going to have something either quite similar or some variation of I like the way it looked on the track. I like the way it looked at night, so I think we might stick with something along those lines.
Ah, beautiful. When do you have plans on having that car sort of unveiled and the sheet get pulling back and we can see what it looks like?
Well, we haven't done a tremendous amount of work over the off season. I've been taking some time to travel with my wife and spend some time with family and get some things done around the house. But come the new year, we're going to really hammer down and try and get that car all together.
Underneath stuff like the chassis part of it, the nut and bolt, we'll call it. Is that process underway or is that completed? And we're just looking at, you know, the livery on it, or what stage are you actually at in the shop?
Well, actually, we ended the year in pretty good shape, so really we're just going to spruce up a few banged-up body panels and get it looking pretty. I mean, the mechanical portion of it is great. I mean, we got a great McCall chassis with a really good shock and spring setup. I mean, our Leach motor is running primo. We didn't have the longest season last year, so maintenance on that end is pretty low. So, I mean, things are looking really bright for next year.
Matt, you know, kind of at the beginning of the show, we covered off, you know, who we're going to be talking about, and we've talked about it, you know, probably about 10 times since the schedule has came out, both on air and off. But Delaware is switching to Saturday nights. What's your take on that?
My take, you know, I find it really important to support the people who've supported you, and Delaware has been great to us over the years. So even though it might not have been my first choice, I trust the guys who are running the show over there, and if they think it's a good idea, well, I'm on board to at least give it a shot.
What's the competition level like right now in late models at Delaware Speedway? I know you've seen it all for a very long period of time. What is the competition level like at Delaware Speedway right now? In late model, obviously, because that's where you're at, but overall?
I think overall, I mean, and it's been the same way for a number of years. I mean, it seems that if you can run good at Delaware, you can run just about anywhere pretty good as well. The competition there through, you know, the truck and the street stock or super stock division, has been fantastic over the years with guys moving up through the ranks and getting into the late model program. The changes that Delaware has made, especially going into last year to try and entice guys with late model cars to come, you know, the proof's in the pudding. I mean, car counts are up, attendance in the stands is up. The weather wasn't too hot, and I think that hurt them more than anything. But, I mean, I think if things carry on the way that they did going into last year, I think this year's going to be even better.
Yeah, and when you look at the Saturday night conversion, it's got to be good news. I was talking at the beginning of the show about, you know, leaving here and going down and covering Friday nights at Delaware. It was a challenge, man. I had to leave awful early to get down there. And if I was real late getting ready to leave here, I packed it in and said, man, I won't get there until the features may be done by the time I get there. It's got
to... And the rest of the program is so good. And, you know, you don't want to miss a whole lot. So, I mean, if it helps people, you know, be able to get through their Saturday afternoons and get an early bite to eat and get the kids out to the racetrack, well, I'm all for it.
Yeah, it's going to be... It's a different mindset, though, right? Because you grew up on Friday night racing.
Yes, it's definitely a tradition, and it's definitely a mix-up. So, I mean, the sport has to change, and if that's the feedback that they've been getting from fans and sponsors and racers alike, then, you know, I think it's worth at least giving it a whirl.
Now, on Friday nights, you have to be in bed, you know, pretty early so that you're fresh and ready to go on Saturday. I'm just saying. No staying out late.
No staying out late. I mean, I'd be lying if I said there wasn't some late nights Thursday night getting the car ready before I got to go to work in the morning on Friday. So, I mean, maybe it'll be nice to be able to get things going the night before and be able to sleep in.
Absolutely, absolutely.
How's the old boy making out there, Steve Robley, multi-champion? How's he making out?
He's doing really well. Things around his place are looking good. I was talking to him earlier today. He's looking forward to getting back in the shop and spending some time with family over the Christmas season.
Gotta love it. And he's a crucial part of your race team, right? You guys are all one big package.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, Dad's been instrumental over the years trying to get my hack together. I mean, I think he's a bit of a natural talent, whereas I needed a little bit of work. So he's been more than happy to help me out over the years. And, you know, I really do appreciate it.
How about the rest of the crew, Matt Robley, for 2020? Who have you got on your team? And is it the same core group of guys? Have you added anybody new?
No, it's been the same core group of guys for a number of years now, even on my program. I mean, John Johnston, who's been around with Dad for a great number of years. Dave Alexander, same thing for a bunch of years. I've got a gentleman by the name of Paul Cartwright who's been helping me out. He's an affiliate with VIP Auto Pro, who's one of our big sponsors, and they've been instrumental since getting the street stock together. And I got Larry Kettlewell and Brad Ward and, you know, a bunch of friends and family who always come out and, you know, we have a good time.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. And everybody looks forward to not only the off season to get the car ready. That's when the whole bunch gets back together and those plans all get laid down for 2020. It is a special time. Doesn't matter whether it's really race time or whether it is off season. You guys always get together.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I like to see those guys just as much as anybody else. I mean, they are family. I mean, you know, whether or not they're blood, they're all family, and you know, love every one of them.
So, full tilt for a championship in 2020. Is that the focus for the team, or do you just go race to race, try and do your best in it, get the feature win, and let the points take care of themselves, or are you looking championship?
Well, you know, always got that in the back of your mind, but Dad said it right from day one. You just go race by race, and the rest sorts itself out, and, you know, it hasn't worked out for me yet, but, I mean, you know, one night at a time, and we'll go from there.
The last title that you won, when was it, or have you?
Ooh, unfortunately, no. No, I have not, but always in the back of my mind.
Well, that party never... will be big when that happens, won't it?
I would certainly hope so.
Well, your dad, he's got a number of championships, and it's got to be some. I wonder, and we're going to get Steve Robley on here one of these nights. We'll do that in the new year. But I wonder, you'd know this, too. Did your dad target the season? Did he ever look at it and say, I'm going to go after that championship this year?
You know, I'm sure it's always in the back of your mind. I don't know how everybody looks at it, but he's always been the type of guy to say to just, you know, look at tonight. There's no sense in worrying about, you know, next week, the week after, September, when you're in April. If you can't get through the first night, well, the rest aren't going to go so hot either.
That's true. That, and you got to get through each and every night. I guess the points really don't pop into the mind until, oh, maybe August rolls around, then you start counting, I bet.
Oh, yeah. They're always counting. You got to make sure that everything's been added up correctly, and there's been some issues in the past. I mean, people are human and make mistakes. You have to keep on top of it, and things have gotten a little bit better over the years with computer technology and things like that. But, I mean, you always have to make sure you're getting what's yours.
Matt, will we see you travel at all, or is it 100% Delaware Speedway only?
Well, for sure, my main priority is going to be the Delaware Series. But given the opportunities, we're always looking for opportunities to maybe jump into a APC race here and there. The car's definitely legal for it, but as you guys know, it gets a little bit pricey. But there's some other things going on in the province that I've seen lately that are really exciting. And, you know, if nothing else, I want to go watch. But that Lucas Oil Sportsman Series is still near and dear to my heart. And I know the Herniacs are friends and family, too. And I always like to go and support them when I can.
Yeah, it's going to be a cool deal. This is really going to be an exciting season. I can see it coming. When the APC Series comes through Delaware, then it's a pretty well a shoe-in that you're going to jump into those two.
Yeah, well, we didn't last year. I mean, we struggled with the new car a little bit early on in the year. Got things tidied up towards the end of the season, but decided to sit a few of those races out just until we get our feet wet with the late model again. I mean, we only ran, I think, half a dozen times with the bad weather, so I think, you know, after getting a few regular Friday nights under our belt, or Saturday nights under our belt now, you know, be in a better position to take on that kind of endeavor, because it is, you know, as much as moving from the super stock to the late model is a step, well, moving into those APC races is a big step, too. So you really have to have your act together before you, you know, just jump in and take it for a whirl.
Ah, it's in your DNA, kiddo. And you're a one whale of a driver. You know what you're doing behind the wheel. It's going to be kind of cool. Sponsorship plays a key role in this game, and you've been fortunate enough to have some good sponsors on that car. What's going to be the primaries looking like this year?
Well, last year we had a great group of people involved. I mean, this year already I've made arrangements to keep VIP Auto Pro and STS Roofing. Larry and Marianne Kettle with Kettle Farms, they've been huge supporters almost since day one, and, you know, always reaching out, trying to look for new opportunities.
That's cool. Mike Hereniak, he's going to have his party happening down that way. You're going to take part. Well, I don't know when it's going to be yet. He hasn't announced it, but when it comes up, it's usually in January. Can we see you at that?
Yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, I haven't heard for sure on when the date is. I think he said he might be trying to get it done a little earlier this year, but I haven't heard a firm schedule, but if he's having it on, if I can be there, I will definitely see you guys.
Yeah, it's going to be a hoot. We're going to try and make it this year. Junior and I will I'll make him drive, and I'll have some fun. What do you think? That's a good idea, isn't it, Matt?
That sounds like a great idea.
100%. Yeah.
You know what he just said? We're going to stay. We're going to stay the night, just so you know.
Even better.
That'll be the world's most expensive Uber ride.
Yeah, no good.
Yeah, it's a bit of a hike.
Matty, got to thank you for your time tonight on Race Time. Sure do appreciate it. You guys have a great holiday there. Merry Christmas to everybody, and I know Santa's going to bring you that whatever you want. He's going to bring it this year. That's sleigh. He's got a bigger one.
Yeah, I hope so. And, you know, maybe he's got a brand new McCall straight rail in there for me.
Well, you never know. I know he's hooked up with APC. So Luke's got some stuff going in the sleigh, too. So that's cool.
Yeah,
it's going to be good. Matt, thanks so much for the time, buddy.
Well, thanks for having me.
You bet. That is Matt Robley. He sounds like he's ready to go, Junior.
Yep, fired up. He's, yeah. That program there, that car that he's got, it's a proven winner, and those guys will get it out there. I'm really shocking that he doesn't have a championship.
Yeah, me too.
You know, obviously,
I thought he was a champion.
And you know what? If you think about it, you know, I think that there's a certain amount of pressure there, you know, on him that he would be feeling internally. You
well,
know,
that's
just simply because of how much success that the Robley name has.
Yeah.
That being said, don't feel that pressure. Because you're amazing,
yeah,
and
yeah.
You know he's. I think that Matt is. You know he's going to end up there, and he's going to get one of those championships. And to be honest with you, he's going to go into next year guns a blazing.
Yeah.
If he got his car put together, you know, towards the end of last year, and you know, the numbers started creeping up, and he started getting some good speed out of that thing. So he's going to be a force to be reckoned with.
You know what happens, right? They get one championship, and then it goes click, 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 click. It's like waiting for that first win. You work your buns off trying to get that first win, and everybody keeps asking, when is it going to happen? When is it going to happen? Tonight, tonight, tonight. And then all of a sudden, they get that first win, and they just seem to fall in place after that.
Absolutely.
I'll bet you that championship does the same sort of thing with this Matt Radley. Watch out.
Yep.
That's going to be interesting. Final break of the night. When we come back, we're going to talk Oscar with the president himself, Dave Gainsforth, coming up on the other side of the break.
Bells will be ringing. The sad, sad news.
Hi, race fans. This is Andrew Grizel, driver of the number 81 Sauble Falls late model. And you're listening to Race Time Radio.
NFL is on SiriusXM. Listen to every game from the preseason through Super Bowl 53 on your radio.
Here we go. Tackle football. Let's play.
And remember, your hometown broadcast is always available on the SiriusXM app. When you're at home, turn down the TV volume and stream the game on your phone and SiriusXM connected devices and speakers. And when your team isn't playing, follow the National Football League 24/7 on SiriusXM NFL Radio, Channel 88.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90, is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on. And
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAV TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
If you've got the need for speed,
they're racing door to door in turn four.
Then you've come to the right place.
It's Race Time Radio
with your host, Joe Chisholm.
I think people forget about the true meaning of Christmas. Love, friendship, and spending time with the family. Mama would be inside, fixing turkey and dressing, and me and my brothers used to play outside in the snow for hours, throwing snowballs, and I'll never forget my daddy coming outside and saying,
"Hey! Who put the dick on the snowman? Andy Barris, the family. You could have used a ball bat, a cucumber, or a zucchini. But instead you used a thimble, something you could barely see. Who put the dick on the snowman and made him look like me?
You boys been talking to your mama. I got your Christmas present right here, you little bastard. I'm going to beat your ass."
Oh, Rodney Carey.
And welcome back, everybody, to Race Time Radio. Having a little bit of holiday fun. Rodney Carrington. It wouldn't be Christmas without hearing that. I'll never forget when I heard that for the very first time. Napster had just come out. And I'm searching, and the internet was new, and all that
stuff.
You're
not allowed to tell people that you downloaded stuff for free on Napster.
I didn't download it for free. I just searched it. And I ran across this song, and I, what's this thing? I'm going to play this. I played that song, and I'm telling you what, I had tears running down my face. And I think I played it for absolutely everybody I know, and the same reaction on everybody. Sure hope you enjoyed it.
It was a good time.
Rodney Carrington. Very funny stuff. Let's get back to the hotline, shall we? And we'll talk about some serious stuff now. How about Dave Gainsforth? We got him on the hotline. Let's talk some Oscar. David, good evening, and welcome back to Race Time.
Hey, Joe, how are you?
Doing fantastic, my friend. You have been one busy dude. It looks like things are coming together for 2020.
Joe, it never stops, but, you know, I'm enjoying every minute of it. And, yeah, we're getting things together for 2020, our 30th anniversary of racing in NASCAR, and I've never been more proud of what we got, and I'm looking forward to it.
I can well imagine. I know having a look at your site, having a look at – I just whacked my microphone. Sorry about that if I blew your ear up there. Having a look at your site and having a look at how things are all unfolding here, so it is going to be exciting. Sponsorship-wise, Queenston Chevrolet's back on there, and you got more.
Yes, Queenston Chevrolet, they're come back on to sponsor the Modified this year and provide us a brand new pace truck for the summer. Nightworks Designs are back on title sponsor for the Hot Rods for 2020. And Living Lighting, they're back for the Pro Sprints for their second year. And I just talked to Scott Reinhardt. They're back on board before they left for PRI. I worked on a deal with them as well. So things are coming along really good for us right now.
Fantastic.
I need more, so I'm not done yet.
Oh, absolutely. If someone wants to sponsor Oscar, one of the different properties there, what do they do? Do they just get a hold of you, Dave?
Yeah, they just contact me through Facebook or through our website or whatever. Give me a call, and I'll gladly sit down, and we'll work out a program for them that fits their budget, anywhere from $300 to $5,000. I'll make it work for them, and they'll get the biggest bang for their buck that they could possibly get in racing.
Yeah, and it's cool, too, because when you look at all the different racetracks that you guys go to, and you've got cars going different ways, you got different classes, you really do have something for everybody.
Oh, absolutely. There's no other series that travels as much as we do, covers as much ground as we do in the summer. We're a complete show, and we like to travel as a complete show when we come to the racetracks. It's a good night to give their local divisions a night off, let them enjoy themselves and sitting in the stands. And we got three very unique divisions that you're not going to see anywhere else unless you do come to a NASCAR show. So it's a very good marketing opportunity for them, absolutely.
You gotta love it. Let's start with the Modifieds. We get new listeners all the time. We get new race fans, and they tune into Racetime Radio. They may not know what an Oscar Modified is. And let's talk about the different classes you got. We'll start with Modified. How are things looking for the Modifieds?
The Modifieds are looking very positive again going into 2020. We just had our rules meeting for the season. And I'm very proud to say we didn't change anything for the past 2 years, and I've walked them in for another 4 years. So we're good. The rules for the Modifieds are not changing to the end of 2023, actually.
Good job.
So you know when you buy an Oscar Modified, you don't have to change anything from year to year. Your car is going to hold its value. Your dollar value that you have invested in your car is not going to depreciate. And you can come out and have a hell of a good time. They're fast cars, they're awesome-looking cars, and we've been putting on some great shows with them.
Yeah, you do. I've seen a number of Oscar Modified shows. They open front wheels, open on the rear as well, but you've got the Nerf bars out there. They look like they're a lot of fun to drive. They sound like a real race car, and man, do they go.
They do have a very unique sound to them. I was talking about that at Autumn Colors, actually, just standing there listening. Because at Autumn Colors, you hear every kind of race car there is in Ontario, because everything is there. And the Modifieds just have a very unique, throaty sound to them. I don't know if it's because of the mufflers on the outside or what it is, but they do have a very, very unique sound.
They sure do. And how about car count-wise? Do you see a lot of new race teams coming in this year when you look at the Modifieds? We got some new guys coming?
Yes, I actually have. I just actually looked at my points from last year. My top 15 guys are all committed to come back for this year already, except for Gary Elliott, unfortunately, who moved down east, or else he would have been part of it. I do have three new rookies signed up right now, TJ Marshall, TJ Edwards, and Steve Trendle.
Steve Trendle
are all coming to be a part of the series this year.
I spoke to Steve Trendle earlier on in the week, and the guy has been an ambassador for a very long time, of course, in the Canadian Vintage Modifieds, and he said it was just it was time. You know, it was an opportunity for a change, and he ended up picking up the 77 with Strawn's car. A beautiful race car, and
he's got a great machine.
You know, obviously it's a big acquisition. He's been racing for a very long time, and definitely it's cool to see guys. It's cool to see switches. You know, jumping into a different division to see what they can do. When you look at this, is we're only in December and you got three new ones, right?
Exactly.
It's going to be really interesting to see how many new ones are on the docket when you roll in through the back gate at the first race.
Exactly. And TJ Marshall, he's the defending Canadian Vintage Modified Champion, so of 2018, or this year, 2019, I believe. So, you know, you put him in there with Jason Keane and Chris Milne. I have a lot of top drivers that cut their teeth in the Canadian Vintage Modified, moving up to the Modified. So
cool.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. Let's move on to Hot Rod, shall we? It's a new division. Absolutely. A few years ago, and man, you're lighting the lamp with this class.
I cannot believe the popularity of this class, and I'm just overwhelmed every time I go to the racetrack. You know, the very first race, I had one car show up. But that was 3 years ago, and at Autumn Colors this year, our first visit there, we had 24 of them there.
Nice.
And so far this year, I got 39 of them signed, sealed, and delivered, paid their registration, ready to race.
You gotta love it. You gotta love it. Now, you get a variation. It's the Hot Rod class. What can fans expect to see as a Hot Rod? Where normally you look at a division, and all the cars somewhat look the same in that class. Not so with the Hot Rod class.
No, and that's, I think, a huge draw to the Hot Rods for the drivers. You can build any full steel body car from 1952 to 1974. That's what it has, and it has to maintain its street look. It has to, you know, and it just brings back memories of racing back in the 60s and the 70s, and it gives guys an opportunity to build something that their father may have raced, or they might have had a car like this, a family car. They might have drove one as a family car. Who knows?
But yeah.
I think one time this year I had a field of 16, I think, for the feature, and there wasn't two body styles the exact same.
Isn't that wild? Yeah. And you can see the reaction on behalf of the race fan, right? When they see these cars pull out, you can see them go back.
Exactly. It grabs their attention. It's something different. And it's just something they can't see every day at the races on the local Saturday night. And, you know, I'm very proud of what we've built. You know, I didn't think it was going to work. I had my doubts, too. As you know, it's hard to start a new division. But I got people to try it. They believe in it. And it's just blowing itself out of the water right now, to be honest with you.
Well, to be honest with you, I think the secret sauce is the rules package that you guys have created. You know, it allows, you know, maybe older cars, obsolete cars that you know, wouldn't necessarily be competitive out there against, you know, against new updated race cars. But are still good race cars. You know, you've allowed a tremendous amount of flexibility underneath the skin of that car as well. Just as much flexibility as you have with all the different body styles that you can choose from, you've got the ability to put underneath something that is within your price range, and that is the secret sauce between what the Oscar Hot Rods are and how many you've got on the racetrack. I firmly believe that, and good on you guys for seeing that, identifying that, and going forward.
Well, that was my whole thing when I first started this. I wanted an economical racing division. There's been guys that have been priced out of this business. We all know everybody has a certain amount of disposable income to go racing. And if you can only afford a $10,000 race car or a $5,000 race car, I want you to feel that you can come to the Oscar Hot Rod Series and have fun.
Exactly.
And that's, you know, the name of the game.
Yeah, because everybody gets paid the same. I get criticized for this, that people don't believe in that. But if you win, you get the same amount as the guy that comes last. And the guys that are involved in the division, they want that. They don't want the winner getting 10 times more than the guy at the last, you know, because we need everybody to come to the racetrack. Everybody has the same expenses getting there each week, fuel-wise and everything else. And we need them all, you know, to put the show on. So I firmly believe that's a smart way to do it.
Yeah, good on you, Dave. I know the fans up Sauble Beach way are really excited to see these hot rods in 2020.
Well, we're really excited to be able to come back to Sauble Beach. We missed out on last year, 2018 or 19 just didn't work out. But 2020, we're coming, and we're coming full guns a-blazing to Sauble Beach, absolutely.
Can you imagine the people that go to Sauble Beach? A lot of retro style things at Sauble Beach.
You guys need to
pull the hot rods in, yes. And fans are going to go crazy.
There needs to be, and if this does not happen, it's a missed opportunity by everybody. But I honestly... I go back to at Sauble Beach when of course you owned it. There was not a cruise night. You guys had a car show during Sandfest.
Yes,
and we would bring race cars down to the beach, and they would sit on the beach from 9 o'clock in the morning until I guess it was what 3 o'clock,
2:30. Yep.
They literally fired them up on the beach, drove them all the way to the racetrack from the beach.
We had
permission from the cops, and there was a police escort. But it was a parade through downtown Sauble Beach with race cars. And if that doesn't happen with hot rods, I mean, that there would be a turning point. I think it would be one of the coolest things ever seen, because I think not only people that are race fans would get excited, non-race fans would get excited.
Oh, yeah.
They would see those Mustangs. They would see the Novas and the Chevelles and the Camaros, and they would see all those. And they would be like, what in the heck is this?
Yeah.
This is awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I wouldn't doubt it that you're going to have some old guys walk over and say, why would you ruin a body like this? But
yeah, I get that a lot.
I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt it. There'd be some purist hot rodders out there that want that body. But that being said, it was probably off of a car that wasn't immaculate anyways.
Yeah.
You know, so it's definitely cool. That's the nice part about it. It's you know, you can still fabricate doors and you can still fabricate your fenders and certain things like that. It's mainly the roof line and the appearance with the bumpers, right?
And the grill and the hood and that stuff. Like, yeah. And I'll tell you what, if you guys work out the logistics with the town and the police and everything else, I'll make sure I got cars here to make it happen.
Yeah, we're going to do some cool things, I can guarantee you, at Sauble Beach in 2020.
Okay.
Lots coming ahead. Talk to us about the sprint cars. We're getting close to the top, but tell us about your sprint cars, because that's a real cool program as well.
Yeah, they're entering into their fourth year, or fifth year coming up this year, I believe, and we've made a few changes. We've sort of hit a plateau on our car account number, and we're looking to get more. So I've adjusted the rules a little bit, hoping to open the door to other divisions or like a lot of midget drivers and stuff that may look at us for the future. Opening the door, make it easier for them to convert their cars, making it easier for people that are on the outside that don't have a car yet to come in and get a car. And again, it's more economical. I keep stressing that. It's economical in every division that drives the success. You know, you got to keep the cost down in racing this year and going forward, you know, and that's what we're working on in all three divisions, actually, very hard.
Dave, safe to say that is that's a good starting point for someone if they're not involved in racing yet and they want to get involved, they don't know where to start. Is that a good class for somebody to start up, and how young of a driver do you allow in those sprint cars?
We've had a 14-year-old race with us for now for a couple of years, and they came out of the Grand Bend, racing weekly at Grand Bend.
Right.
As long as they can show on the track, they're 13 or 12 or whatever, and show the respect and the need, and show that they're responsible enough to be out there, I let them go. And it is, you can buy a car now. There's one actually for sale. I just posted it. $3,800. And you can be going racing. And these are, for the weight to speed ratio, these are some of the fastest race cars on the track, on any track, on any given night. They're wild to drive. That you put your foot down and you don't lift. You don't breathe for 10 laps and you wait for the checkered flag. Like, you know, they're, if you haven't seen one race, it's quite a show they put on. Three or four, they're big enough, they're small enough, I'm sorry, to go three or four wide in the corners, and they're back and forth, and they're up and down. it's quite a thing to watch, actually.
Pretty exciting stuff. That's cool. Fans, if you want to know more, I guess you've got everything hooked up, Dave. You got website, you got Facebook, all of that stuff.
Oh, yeah, we have it all.
So just get to...
people got my phone number, too. They can call me anytime. So
just get to Oscar Racing is the website.
It's Oscar.ca.
Oscar.ca.
Yeah. And Oscar Racing is our Facebook page.
And there you go. It's two A's.
It's two A's.
Yes.
It's two A's. So it's Oscar R.
What's that stand for, Dave?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. This is Ontario Stock Car Association of Asphalt Racers.
There you go. So it does have a meaning.
It does. Yes. They came up with this name 30 years ago, and it stuck with us. And, you know, it's... we're going to do a lot of cool things for our 30th anniversary. We should, you know, a lot of things don't last 30 years nowadays, and we're pretty proud that we've been able to overcome a lot of obstacles in the past little while, and we're back bigger and stronger than ever. So,
good job, my friend. This has been great catching up with you tonight. Sounds like things are pointing in the right direction, and I know we all can't wait for 2020. We want to wish you, your family, and, of course, the Oscar family a Merry Christmas, and we look forward to catching up with you in 2020, and we'll get you back on here before that green flag goes in the air, and you can give us a good preview of what we've got.
Absolutely, Joe, and the same to you and your family. All the best this holiday season, and behave yourselves out there. I know Joe likes to have a little fun once in a while. Just be careful, Joe.
No.
I've never had too much fun.
I got to tie
them up.
Especially around this time of the year, David, I got to tie them up and put them on the porch.
That's okay. Well, if you want to send them down to our banquet on January 11th, you know, I know you'll help my bar sales, so that's okay.
I've partaken in a couple of Oscar banquets, and it is a good time. I will say that about that.
Well, I'll tell you a little secret. Where we're having it this year, I didn't get charged a room rental fee this year because our bar bill was so good last year. So.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's the way she works.
That's the way to have it. Dave, thanks.
Exactly. We have a good time.
Thanks so much for the time tonight, buddy.
Okay, we'll talk to you real soon, guys.
You want to believe it? That is the president of Oscar, Dave Gainforth. Sounds like things are percolating and ready to go, Jim.
Absolutely. Really looking forward to seeing Oscar back at the beach. Those modifieds, you know, it's been a while since we've seen modifieds at Sauble Beach, and you know, definitely the hot rods as well, the entire deal. We had the sprint cars last year, you know, we got a chance to see those, seeing the modifieds and seeing the hot rods at the beach is going to be a big addition, and I think that everybody that brings their car up is going to have a great time. It's such a great track for the modifieds.
Yeah, you want to believe it. You know what? This is it for us in 2019. Tonight, our final show of 2019. We will be back for 2020, and we'll be back on January the 5th. Serious. Oh, you won't be.
No,
I will be.
I'm not. I'm off for 4 weeks here.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it 4 weeks?
Yeah, I get 4 weeks holidays from Racetime Radio.
Good for you.
I'll be listening, though.
Good for you. I'll get a co-host in here to help me out. I can guarantee it. But we, from the Chisholm household here, from Sue, Joe, and myself, want to wish you all a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Don't forget to watch those Canadian World Juniors. That's all coming up, starting Boxing Day, right on good old TSN. Always Dynamite Hockey, and that's what I love to do through the holidays, is watch those Canadian World Juniors, and hopefully we can go win gold one more time. Want to thank everyone back in Toronto, Scott and Joe and Aaron and absolutely everyone in our Sirius XM family. Want to wish you all a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And to all of our family and friends over at 98.9 XFM in Antigonish, Nova Scotia, the Performance Motorsport Network, Gearhead Country Radio, all of you, everybody, have a super holiday. Have a safe one. We want to see you back in 2020 on Racetime Radio. We got a great season coming up, and I know we will have lots for you. As soon as that calendar flips over, we will be ready to go. For Sue, for Joe, I am Joe Chisholm. Have a good one, everybody, and we will see you January the 5th at 9 p.m. Eastern on Sirius XM, Channel 167, Canada Talks. Good night.
This smooth down. White flag is out. One to go. No pressure from behind.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. A message on our 24-hour listener hotline, 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.